The memories came flooding back from the album Digger a Hole 1997, Block Rockin' Beats from the Chemical Brothers. The book is called The Story of Big Beat. Big Beat was once one of the biggest, but ironically perhaps the most misunderstood musical moments, movements, of the mid to late 90s. Some of the biggest artists of such as Fatboy Slim, the Chemical Brothers, the Prodigy, Propellerheads. It's loud, eclectic sound, and it was all over. There seemed not to be an advert made in London without anything by Big Beat in it. It's the subject of a great new book by Rory Hoy, The Story of Big Beat. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from somewhere in the UK. Rory himself. Rory, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon!
Yes, it was certainly loud enough, wasn't it?
It was very loud!
Tell me a little bit, Rory, about your background and how you came across Big Beat and where it all started.
Basically, I started getting into dance music about 20 years ago. I was about 11 years old. Back in the old days, there was an Adidas advert, which had Right Here, Right Now. And then I heard this, I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. And the first records I got in this genre of music I just discovered were Right Here, Right Now, and Hey Boy, Hey Girl by the Chemical Brothers, and Ooh La La by the Wise Guys. And those three songs really turned me into the world of Big Beat, and I also got into things like Funky House and stuff at the time. Because originally I was into like Britpop music, like Oasis and Blur and stuff, and then when I heard Big Beat, I thought, this is amazing, and it's adding an extra palette onto my musical background, really, because my mum and dad are musicians as well, and I was also into what they were into as well, and it was just amazing to discover this fantastic new music. It is ironically at the beginning of the end of the genre's lifespan, because about a year later people stopped making Big Beat. I was like, oh, I was really enjoying this music, how can people stop making it nowadays? And then I thought, why not write a book about this amazing era of music? And it started a couple years ago, and it was basically my Labour of Love project. And last year I released the original version, which was called The Little Big Beat Book, and it did incredibly well. And I got all these accolades from these really big people, most impressively Paul McCartney from the Beatles. I gave it to him last Christmas because I was invited to meet him because of all my other musical work and my charity work. And
right.
He was so impressed with it, and it was just brilliant. And all these artists who did Big Beat music have started release new releases and stuff, and more people are sort of rediscovering Big Beat.
Just take us back to where it all originally came from then. Was it influenced by the music of the soul of the 60s? Was it influenced by sort of electric boogaloo like African Bambaataa and Grandmaster Flash? You know, where did it originally come from?
Big Beat started pretty much in what became known as Big Beat pretty much began about 1987. It was people like Cold Cut and Big Bang and people out in Renegade Soundwave were doing this sort of music that was sort of, which was like hip-hop and house smashed together, really. And it didn't really start to properly take off until the middle of the 90s. And even though the name Big Beat had been around since the late 80s to describe the style of music, it was also known as things like Amel House and Tripno and Britpop and stuff. And about 96, it was just known as Big Beat, and that's when people like Fatboy Slim and the Chemical Bros really started to get really huge. And it sort of peaked about 97 with the release of things like Dig Your Own Hole and The Fat of the Land. And the following year had the You've Come a Long Way, Baby album that Fatboy Slim did, which was the sort of the pinnacle of Big Beat, in my opinion. It had all the big hits like Praise You and The Rockefeller Skank and Right Here, Right Now and stuff. And it's sort of about 99-ish, people are like, oh, we don't like this style of music anymore. Probably because it was so popular. Because unfortunately, one of the things with dance music is when something gets so huge and so popular, people just want to hear the next thing, which is just sort of understandable. But Big Beat got so maligned and sort of like, because it was so popular and people just moved on to other things. And it's taken quite a bit for people to sort of like Big Beat again, because during the sort of the start of the 2000s, people are like, oh, we don't like Big Beat anymore. But nowadays people are a lot more accepting towards it. And hopefully this book will
reignite the passion behind Big Beat, turning people onto it. Just Just, I mean, the other thing about Big Beat, because, you know, I was a callow youth enjoying myself in London at the time as well, was the fact that, you know, Big Beat didn't exist in a bubble. There was a lot of crossover between the Britpop thing. If you think of this first track that I played, which is from the Chemical Brothers, you know, Noel Gallagher's on one of the Setting Suns, one of the tracks on that album as well. So there wasn't, it didn't exist in a vacuum. It was like, if you like, the sort of the underground side of Britpop, you could argue.
You're correct there, because in the book I talk about, you know, Oasis did that really huge show in Nebworth Park.
Yeah.
The support acts were the Prodigy and the Chemical Brothers. And there's a little story in the book about how when Liam Howlett opened for Oasis, because he's the lead guy from the Prodigy, and Noel actually asked him to play the song Poison. He specifically asked him to play Poison in that set. And for me, because that show, the Oasis at Nebworth, was like the height of Britpop, and it was also like because the Prodigy and the Chemical Bros were there, it was also like the sort of the start of Big Beat becoming really big.
And tell me, so, I mean, a little bit, I mean, because there was obviously different, if you think about Big Beat, but it wasn't, there was several personalities that stood out. We talked about the Chemical Brothers, but the Prodigy, I mean, they went massive from sort of, they'd been around the scene, sort of the Acid House dancing, the tail end of the 80s coming into the 90s. But as soon as Fat of the Land came out, they again just exploded across the scene.
It was an absolutely phenomenal album, especially when Firestarter, which was the
album.
The late, great Keith Flint on vocals, and everyone just wanted to be Keith Flint, and there were all these sort of, and he became pretty much a pop culture icon, and sort of like the unofficial leader of the Prodigy, even though Liam Howlett's the main fella, and he just became this massive pop culture icon, and also with the controversy of Smack My Up.
Yeah.
And because that song attracted so much controversy, it really took them to a level that they never experienced before, and also it was a fantastic song as well. And it just, and the beats, because I always remember when I was a child hearing the early Prodigy stuff like Fat of the Land and thinking, this is so fantastic, so fat and so big. And I also learned over time it's because they use really good compressors. And when I produce my own music, because I also make Big Beat myself, I try and sort of emulate that sort of huge drum sound. And it sounds absolutely amazing on club speakers.
Mm. And that's one of the things as well, because it was a music genre that was played best heard. You know, you could put it on your speakers, you know, Pioneers or your Boses at home, but it's best enjoyed in a sweaty club, somewhere, you know, somewhere with the place absolutely packed and everybody leaping around on Lucozade or perhaps something stronger.
Usually amyl nitrate's in the Big Beat era, because a lot of them, because originally one of the nicknames for Big Beat was Amyl House, because a lot of the punters were sort of big amyl takers. And it still rings true today, because even though I play a lot of modern music as a DJ, like the modern breaks and house stuff, I always drop a Big Beat tune, usually Ooh La La by the Wise Guys and stuff. And when you hear on the big speakers, it sounds absolutely amazing. And that boom, ba da ba da boom, boom, ba, it still sounds good today. And
love how you say that. Sorry, keep going on, yeah.
And when you play a Big Beat record, it's just got this sort of energy and stuff. It's interesting, because I was doing a festival a couple of months ago. A lot of the audience were sort of people in their sort of teenagers who were either around when Big Beat was at its height. They were absolutely losing their to Breathe by the Prodigy, because I was doing the set, and as soon as I dropped on the beginning bit of Breathe, it goes da 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 da,
yeah,
just going crazy. It might also have to do with the sort of the renewed interest in them after Keith's unfortunate passing away, but still the crowd were just eating it up.
We can't mention this, of course, without a man called Norman. He'd been in the band called The House Martins. He'd been Beats International. You know, nobody really kind of heard him. They'd known in the music business, but then he reinvented himself as Fatboy Slim. And the rest, as they say, is history. And he's still out there, and he's playing all over the world on the back of as Fatboy Slim.
Oh, Fatboy Slim, it was such a pleasure to interview him, because I met him a few years ago, and he's a really, really nice chap, and we've known each other for a few years now, and we sometimes exchange tunes and stuff, and I was actually one of the first guys to receive his Eat, Sleep, Rave, Repeat track, and it was so great interviewing him. He's got such a wonderful knowledge of music and stuff, and when he reinvented himself as Fatboy Slim, it really, like the project, it really took him to a level that had never been seen before. And at the late 90s, he was pretty much the biggest guy in dance music. And and especially with the You've Come a Long Way, Baby album, which is still to this day an absolutely phenomenal record, and it's so well produced and still sounds good 21 years on, and even to this day does these fantastic live shows at these massive festivals. He sells out these huge venues, and it's just such a pleasure to know this wonderful guy.
I mean, I remember him doing the Brighton festivals. I mean, when he started doing the Brighton, and absolutely sort of literally, you know, quarter of a million people turning up to Brighton and packing out the beach.
Oh, Big Beach Boutique 2, that was in 2002. I never went to that show, sadly, but I've got the DVD of it, and it's an absolutely fantastic show, and just the energy he puts into the show, and the showmanship and stuff, and it was pretty much it was like the Beatles at Shea Stadium, really, for Big Beats, really. It was a brilliant show.
I mean, I suppose the problem is after that they couldn't go anywhere. And one of the other things was the fact because it was so distinctive, Big Beat, things like the Propellerheads, their album, that came out. And then suddenly you started hearing History Repeating and tracks like You Said Right Here, Right Now, basically on every second advert. It seemed to be taken by the media darlings. And it, if you like, it overkilled itself within sort of 2 years.
That's exactly one of the reasons why, unfortunately, Big Beat got maligned, because everyone was hearing like that and Ooh La La stuff on it and Block Rocky Beat stuff on every second advert, and that's why people moved on to things like New School Breaks and Funky Breaks and a lot of the house stuff, which I also really like, but again, things come and go, really, because you never know, maybe in a few years from now people might be loving Big Beat again.
I hope so. So who did you speak to? You said you'd interviewed Fatboy Slim. You said that you'd spoken as well to Liam and the late, great Keith. Who did you speak to? Who else did you speak to about putting this book or this book zine or whatever you want to call it, a cross between a book and a magazine, which I'm holding in my hands right now?
There's absolutely loads of people. I've got a list of them somewhere. But the main ones, ones that you might recognise. I've got 120 people. I interviewed Cutler Rock, Midfield General, DJ Regal from The Wise Guys.
How long did it take you to put this together then? And who was most fun to speak to? Was it Fatboy Slim? Was it Liam? Who was the most memorable interview you got to do?
Probably Liam. It was very memorable because every second word was the F word.
Fair enough.
Because I read the book to my mum and dad, and they were absolutely horrified by the language.
So what do you think? What's next then? I mean, what do you hope to accomplish with the book, The Story of Big Beat? Hopefully that it will get a resurgence in the genre, as it were?
Basically, hopefully a resurgence in the genre, and also hopefully just renewed interest in this era of music, because there hasn't been an actual proper documentation of this era of music, because there's been loads of books about Britpop and like the golden age of hip-hop and stuff, but there hasn't been anything about the Big Beat era, because it's one of the most important eras, in my opinion, of the 90s.
The book is called The Story of Big Beat. It's by Rory Hoy. It's out now in New Haven. Rory, if people want to find out more about you and find you, can they find you on the internet? Is there a Facebook page? Where can they get hold of you?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on SoundCloud. I've got an official website, which is www.roryhoy.com, R-O-R-Y-H-O-Y. And I've also got, I don't have Twitter because there's too many twits on there.
Right, fair enough.
And not on Instagram, but I am on Facebook, and I've got a Mixcloud account where you can hear my DJ mixes, and a Soundcloud where you can hear my own productions, and just Google me.
Just everywhere. Rory, I mean, because I know that you're a multi-award-winning music producer, DJ, and filmmaker. I mean, I don't know how you find the time, but what are you up to next? What's your next project?
I've just finished a new single with a vocalist from London called Zonic, which is more of a vocal house thing. I'm working on another EP, which is in the old school Big Beat vein, and I'm working on a movie soundtrack to a fictional movie.
Well, the book is called The Story of Big Beat. It's by Rory Hoy. Rory, it's been a real pleasure to do the research for this. I'm going to look over the book at the weekend, but to play some of these tracks really took me back. The book is called Story of Big Beat. It's by Rory Hoy. Rory, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been lovely talking to you, Giles.
Take care.